Hello, and welcome back to North of Shy, the Beard & Warner North Shore podcast. I'm Ian Robinson, here today with my co-hosts,
Dina Listener,
Anthony Marabian,
and our very special guest, Mike Del Monte. Today's episode is one that is very important for agents, home sellers, and buyers to understand, especially with some of the recent changes in appraisal requirements. Mike is joining us today. He is a certified general appraiser as well as a real estate agent out of the Beard & Warner Highland Park office. Thank you so much for joining us, Mike.
Thank you for having me.
Well, first of all, welcome, and we're thrilled to have you here today. Can you start by telling us a little bit about yourself and your role as an appraiser?
I've been a real estate broker since 1980, and I believe I got my appraisal license around 1995. So I've been a full-time appraiser since 1995.
Excellent. And can you tell us about why you think it's important for agents to be prepared for the appraisal process?
Yes. As a broker, in my opinion, your job is to represent your seller and get them the most money they can, and more importantly, that the transaction closes. And part of that process is the appraisal, who technically represents the lender protecting their equity. So that's kind of where the appraiser fits into the process.
Great.
So we understand that there are some new measurement standards when doing an appraisal. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes, it is called the ANSI Z765 standard. I believe it's basically standardizing the measuring of real estate countrywide. So there's one standard across the country for obvious reasons, because if you have five people measuring a house, you're going to get five different ideas of size and square footage. So this standardized it nationwide.
And the MLSs are not very good at that either. They have all sorts of different criteria. And in our own MLS, you see agents not following the rules all the time, and they're not always caught.
Yes, but it's just a different way of doing things. The main thing is we measure the property, especially for single family detached residences, around the outside perimeter. So that's why people will see me walking around with my little stick to measure. And there are new rules with attics in terms of ceiling height. And that's probably the two most important changes that they've done.
Thanks, Mike. So for an agent who is going to be preparing for an appraisal, can you tell us a little bit about what they should do to prepare for that process?
Yes, I recommend providing if not a survey, Remind, I believe, has the plat map, which is very important for the site size. Also, if they can provide a floor plan, which is required now, the ones in the MLS look much better than our hand-drawn, so that provides the reader, who is usually not in Illinois, so they have a good idea of the floor plan. Obviously, they can provide comparables that they feel are appropriate. It's the appraiser's decision whether to use them or not. Personally, I feel a good agent has a good handle on what is happening in their neighborhood. So it's always important to get information from the agent.
And when would you prefer to get that information, Mike? Is it something you'd want, like when you meet the agent at the house, or would it be better to get it before that?
Either or. I, as a general rule of business, ask agents if they have anything they want to provide. So if they meet me, or they can give it to me at the inspection, or they can email it before or after the fact.
What about the new photograph requirements?
Basically, they want a photograph of everything. And the important thing is the photographs need to match the description of the property in terms of upgrades or lack thereof. Kitchen, bedrooms, bathrooms, finished basement, unfinished basement, a picture of basically every room in the house. And I'm starting to take pictures of garages and throw that in now.
Do they also look at like upgraded electric and stuff?
I would assume yes, but I'd basically just take a picture of the electrical box. So to me, that's kind of an inspection item, but it would make a difference if you don't have at least a minimum of 100 amp circuit breaker.
Makes the difference in the appraisal process.
And the valuation process, because that could be a sizable upgrade that the new purchaser would need to make. So that would have an influence on the value, yes.
Essentially, if an agent wants to help the appraiser during the process, they should provide a floor plan, lot dimensions.
Any upgrades that the owner has done recently, primarily kitchen and bathrooms, which is fairly evident at the inspection, but it really, our job as an appraiser is to inspect the property for interior, exterior, and any locational issues that have an effect on value, whether positive or negative. So a new kitchen, new bathrooms, obviously, but conversely, if they're not done, that has an effect on value also. So,
yeah, Mike, I have a question for you about something that comes up all too frequently in the last few years, where a homeowner has done something like finishing the basement or adding a bathroom, and they didn't pull permits, and they either did it themselves or had, you know, Uncle Joe do it. How does something like that had no permits affect appraisal? Can it even be considered as a improvement?
The question is yes and no. That's more of a legal issue, whether it's a legal improvement. As an appraiser, I don't technically dig that deep into it. But on the sales end, a lot of the attorney approval issues, that's in there, whether or not it was pulled by permit. Technically, if it's there, I will count it and include it. But who knows?
Okay. If you were made aware, would you still count it? Like if the agent told you there were no permits for that, would you still be able to count it? Or would that be?
If I see it and it's there, I will take a picture.
Okay.
And explain it to whoever's reading the report that it's here. And that's it. You know, we're not attorneys, so we're not going to check every property for permits. But technically, if it's not a legal use, it's not supposed to be included. But that's kind of beyond the scope of what an appraiser does. It's what we visually see, and that's it.
Great. Very good to know.
Great to know.
What else would you like an agent to know about the real estate appraisal process?
Like I said in the beginning, an appraiser is technically a representative of the lender, and our job is to protect the equity of the loan. So that's number one. Number two, since the recession, the appraisal industry has become a lot more regulated in terms of the standards of measurement. The new form that they started a few years ago is all designed basically to be read by their computers. So they're basically looking for anomalies across the country in terms of adjustments, whether the comparables are the right comparables, in their opinion. The lenders there's something where they put the appraisal through an automatic underwriting where they're checking the appraisal, whether it matches all of their rules. So it's a lot more regulated than it used to be. So, and a lot of the changes in the appraisals don't come from the appraisal. They come from the underwriters and the Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac whether it fits in their little box, shall we say.
And what type of properties do you appraise, Mike?
Right now, it's primarily residential, but I am a certified general, so I can do commercial properties. My main forte in commercial properties is mixed use, which is like a storefront with two apartments above in Chicago, multi-unit apartment buildings. That's my favorite because that's more of an appraisal from start to finish when you're relying on the true income of the property versus historic data and historic trends.
So a listing agent for a commercial property such as that, you probably need them to provide you with rent rolls and other things, yes, as well, and profit and loss statements.
Profit and loss, Schedule E's, profit and loss, current rental income. Some lenders now are requiring actual tax returns so that what's on the tax return matches the real estate, shall we say. That's basically it. And even those I measure the perimeter of a six flat.
I would just want to circle back to something you had said earlier, and I'm curious, you know, we were talking about upgraded electric. What about upgraded plumbing? And do those things affect the appraisal if somebody pulls out all the old galvanized pipes and put in copper or PVC or whatever they're?
I would say, as a general rule, yes. Question of PVC, one would get into whether that's, I don't hate to use the word legal, but whether it's per code.
Okay.
That's where you get into all the legal issues that are handled with the inspection and the AI and all that good stuff. Even with inspections, some inspectors are better than others. And some inspectors make comments that, let's say, do not reflect the reality of the market. Mm. So as agents, you have to be aware, but as an appraiser, again, it's kind of what we see. We're not going to, you can tell in the basement if there's new copper pipes, but I don't know if you can really tell if somebody pulled out all the old plumbing and redid it.
I see.
And if a broker would tell me that, I would probably ask for proof, if for no other reason, to cover me.
And Mike, you wear two hats as an agent here at Baird & Warner and yes, as an appraiser. And I'm curious how you view the pricing of properties with each different hat, because market value does not always equal appraised value. And sometimes what it can sell for in the market, like we've had a really crazy seller's market in late 2020 into early 2022, you know, and sellers could get more than what it really should appraise for. You know, how do you view that as an agent who's also an appraiser? And how do you explain to sellers, you know, that, well, this may not appraise for your buyer, you know?
First of all, as an agent, one has to know which way their market's going. Like in the last couple of years, it was, in my opinion, it was basically a strong seller's market. And on an appointment to an owner, you might say, Mr. and Mrs. Seller, here are the comparables, but the comparables might not reflect reality. Let's pick a price and see what we get and hope to God it appraises. As an appraiser, it's the same thing. The market is based on what a buyer and seller are willing to accept in the current market. So in my opinion, as an appraiser, I give the contract a very thorough review, and then I always check to see which way things are going. Currently, at the end of the third quarter, I haven't done a check of the recent pricing to see if things are still going up like they have been. In Highland Park, where my main market is, I haven't seen any really slowing yet.
And if there is multiple offers on the appraisal side, do you want the agent to provide all of the other offers besides the winning one to help with it?
I prefer that as an appraiser, that they provide all the other offers, obviously crossing out anything that's pertinent, names and that type of stuff, personal information. And as part of the appraisal process, I would put a statement in the appraisal that the property was listed at such and such a price on such and such a date, and they had 7 offers. And this is basically the market we're in. So it seems the market is still increasing.
Does the bank really look at that multiple offer situation when something sells significantly more than asking price?
Theoretically, they should, because everything is market-based. But there's so many different lenders, and they all have different requirements and criteria. My job as an appraiser is, one, to describe the property so that whoever's reading the report, wherever they are, understands what they're doing. And the second part is explaining the market and what's going on in the current market where we are, so they understand that multiple offers are kind of just, that's the market. So, and that's why they're selling for over market, the lack of inventory, whatever.
Well, this is really fascinating, Mike. So I've thought of another question just sitting here. As agents, we all have our story about like the craziest, you know, client situation, the craziest deal, you know, what maybe was going off the rails or something we had to say. What has been the most interesting or bizarre or hard to appraise property you've ever hit?
Ooh, many years ago in Chicago, I did an appraisal without a bathroom for some reason. Probably a turn of the century, you know, cottage built in the late 1800s. And for some reason, they didn't have an indoor bathroom. And
wow.
Yes.
So how did that work? Was there an outhouse or something?
I forget, but I just remembered we got it through. So whatever I did must have worked.
Must not have been an FHA loan.
Yeah. No. And the other thing now is with the new measurement, there are issues with attics because it's, I think, a minimum of 7-foot ceiling for attics. So, in fact, I just heard from a broker friend that lost the sale because of that, that they only had 6.5-foot attic ceiling.
So they can't count it?
Can't count it.
And it has to be at the peak, of course, correct?
No. 7-foot standing.
For the attic.
Yeah.
The whole space. Wow.
That's incredible. Because for a house like this, even in my own, I have a 3rd floor, but maybe very small portion of it is that tall.
So Mike, the attic is a problem with 7-foot. What about finished basement in some of these older houses? Do they have to be at least 7-foot to be counted now as well?
I haven't researched that properly, but if you're including finished space in the basement, it has to be finished to the same level as the rest of the residence. That's attics also, by the way. So It can't be like in the old days, they'd put particle board on the attic and call it a fixed attic. There wasn't egress and ingress. That's a big issue for safety. Basement's the same way. It can't be just a cement floor, not even painted drywall. You know, the old basement underneath the stairs really does. Bathroom underneath the stairs, it's there, but it's not there. So a lot of the new requirements, as I said earlier, are so that it's the same around the country. And that somewhere there must be issues with attics and unfinished attics that are being included in square footage that now you cannot do.
Fascinating.
I know, Dina, you have one more question for Mike.
I do. Mike, this is a surprise question that we like to ask one of a few at the end of our interviews. If you could pick one song to be the soundtrack of your life, what would it be?
Tom Petty, I think it's I Won't Back Down.
That's a good one.
Great one.
Never Quit.
I was going to go with Learning to Fly. So I think that's a much better.
The other one is John Lennon Watching the Wheel Go Round, I think.
But, both are great.
You know, so that's it.
Great answer.
Well, Mike, we would like to thank you so much for joining us today. It was a privilege. And thank you all for listening. And we'll see you next time on North of Shy.
Bye.
Thank you.